drinking?
No! Well, 10 beers.
My advice to you, start drinking heavy.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Now, whose ass I gotta kiss to get myself a beer?
Welcome to show 32, BigFoamyHead.com, the Bach Beer Show. And this is a show Rick has been wanting to do. During some of his travels, he picked up a bunch of Bach beers. I also brought some, and we're just going to take you through what a Bach beer is, a little bit about the history of it, and we're going to sample five or six or seven. We've got some more Memphis music, and we are back to cooking, and got several things going on that we're going to have some pictures on the website soon for you to look at. Hopefully I can find some batteries so I can take some more pictures of this smoked shrimp with barbecue remoulade sauce we're enjoying right this very minute.
So this show, we've been trying to recruit some help because we've got a lot of samples to go through, and we're punishing our naughty livers.
Right. So I guess we ought to start off with saying what a Bach is.
Okay, let's start off with the motivation behind the show was okay. A Bach beer. It was a Northern Brewer kit. Cost about $26. It was my first all-grain and also my first lager. So people that have been listening to the show pretty regularly remember me talking about how much time it's taken to cold condition this beer. But now it's time to start rolling it out. So we've already had our first batch. So,
and did you use power tools on this batch?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and, good. And we got help in here. We've got people coming and going. Some of them are just a little bit too underage. I think they're under one. But hopefully we're going to get enough people in here to help us. And the reason we need help is because Box, although a moderate to strong sort of flavor malt, they're not really, I guess you wouldn't really think of it as a strong beer in terms of alcohol. It's the average alcohol by volume ranges from 6.3 to 7.4. percent. There's a lot of different examples of Bach beers there, and we've got a whole wealth of them with us today. And we started off with Rick's homebrew.
The information here says, invented in Einbach, made popular in Munich, beer lovers have been drinking this distinctive style in one form or another for almost 400 years. Bach, which means goat in German, is a family of strong, generally sweet lagers that, as Daryl Richmond says in his Bach book, provide the extra Gemütlichkeit needed to endure cold, short, gray days.
What does that mean?
I love that word.
Do we know what that means?
Yeah, that was on the Modern Marvels Brewing Special. And that's just kind of a feeling of comfort or warmth of hanging out.
Gemütlichkeit. And this also says that the name Bach was invented or originated in the northern German city of Einbeck, which was a brewing center and popular exporter in the days of the Hanseatic League. 14th to 17th century. Of course, who didn't know that? It's recreated in Munich around the 17th century, and the name Bach is based on a corruption of the name of the town, Einbeck, and was thus only used after the beer came to Munich.
That's under dispute, though.
Right, because it also says, as you just said, Bach also means billy goat in German. It's often used in logos and advertisements.
Well,
and
on the part of the story of the beers, is a guy fell over after drinking it, and he said he was kicked by a goat. That's one of them. Another version of the story is it was brewed in the month of Capricorn, which has a sign of the goat.
Okay. So lots of reasons why it's named Bach, but it's not a the key word is malt, dark malt. There's a lot of that, in regardless of which one you got, although we do have a blonde Bach that we're going to have later on, so that'll be a little different. So we just had your homebrew, and I thought it was very typical of a Bach. I mean, I thought it was a very good beer. It was very clean and malty, and it was just great. And before I knew it, it was gone.
It's a good session beer, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and then we immediately poured a Shinerbach on after that.
Right, and so that's what we're trying
to compare and contrast.
Because you can get Shinerbach anywhere.
Right.
Everybody knows about Shinerbach, especially if you're in Texas, right? I mean, that's the beer, right?
And we've done a show about Shinerbachs before. So
we did Shiners a while back. But
it's a great brewing company out of Texas.
So we did this as a standard, right, by which to judge. And I'd say your brew was a little maltier. I know it says that there's really no caramelization, but I get some kind of caramel notes in it. But I thought yours was a little cleaner. So I like yours better. It's a good beer, very good beer. I think you did a great job with it. And let's play some of that Memphis music I was talking about earlier. This is from the two-disc WDIA CD, the historical CD, America's First All-Black Programmed Radio Station. And we're going to play a cut here. This is just a fantastic blues song by Rufus Thomas. It's called Put My Money Down.
Better listen to what I want to say, baby. Listen. If you want to be my woman, you can't run around. You gonna run around, woman. Stop, put my money down. I told you early this morning and late in the evening, too. I just don't know what in the hell I'm gonna do with you. If you gonna be my woman,
we were talking about during the break about WDIA, and I'd mentioned it as a controversial station, and Rick reminded me that things continued to get controversial here in
April 4th, 1967 is the anniversary of the Martin Luther King assassination in Memphis.
Right. So we're sitting in where it all happened. So you had all of these things going on. Last show we talked about Stax and the whole surge of R&B and people around the neighborhood and all of that being driven. And then you've got WDIA coming on the air to play it. And then, not more than 10 years later, you got Martin Luther King and the assassination. So it was a whole cultural shift, and we were all in the middle of all of this. And, of course, now, 40-odd years later, we don't think that much about it. So it was really nice. I mentioned during our vacation to go down there and kind of relive all of this and sell that. So that's why I've been playing this music and bringing it in. So
we're joined in the studio by Susan Mascarig.
That's right.
From our Chick Beer Show. Oh, we're calling the Beer Babe Show, right?
Right.
Hello, everybody.
Correct. And her husband Tom's been here, and right. They've got their kids outside.
Yeah, the door is opening and closing a lot today. We've got people just coming in and leaving.
Which is good, because we have a lot of beer to drink.
Okay.
You know what it was?
Did we mention tribe before?
Yeah.
We did. Okay. Yeah. And see, my wife's in here giving me hand signals saying, don't forget her child.
So. I had the big kids out at the park. And I sniffed a little something from across the lake, smelled some barbecue and shrimp, and I had to wander over here and see what was going on.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Is yes. It yeah. Who did it?
Me.
Where did it go?
Yeah, this is going to be on the website.
You're going to have the recipe on there?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get back to doing that. That's why we didn't do that during the winter. We tried that, but the carbon monoxide fumes and we kept passing out. So the grilling indoors just doesn't work as good as outdoors. We learned that.
Well, you got the smoke ring on your ceiling, too.
That's true. It smells good, but it's just too toxic. So,
the sauce is so great. Did you make that yourself? Or
yeah, that is a twist on a remoulade. A classic remoulade sauce has ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, chopped garlic, chopped shallots, and et cetera. So I did a little different, and I used the Creole mustard that Trey picked up at the store. or we're calling it Creole mustard. It's a spicy brown mustard. And mayonnaise and some of my homemade barbecue sauce and celery salt. Because you have chopped celery in it. And so it's like five ingredients. That's it.
For those of you furiously writing this down, we will post it.
It will be on the – right. It's on the website. Go click on a link or two. It's there.
So also during the break, we opened up our Paul Anner Doppelbock.
Right.
So we've moved from the standard box to the Doppelbock.
And you said this is an old brewery, right?
Right. Paul Anner's been around for a long time. This is the information from the website, and it's all, what'd you call it?
Documented?
No,
documented?
Flash. It's a Flash website.
Oh, it's a Flash website, yeah.
It's really hard to get information off of, so I had to type it out.
Okay.
Anyway, Paul Anner Doppelbock says, to better survive the hard period of fasting, the resourceful Paul Anner monks brewed the strong and tasty Paul Anner Salvator already more than 350 years ago. This special type of dark beer is generally called Doppelbock, with 7.9% alcohol. Paul Anner Salvator has been inspiring not only the beer-loving Paul Anner monks, but is still enjoyed by all aficionados of Munich beer specialties.
It's a good beer.
Yeah.
It's very good beer. And I like it for two reasons. It's a good beer, very in the Bock style, and it's a monk beer.
Brewed by monks.
That's
350
right.
years
monks.
Ago.
You can't go wrong when you got that monk beer.
Get us through the Lenten season.
That's right.
So it's kind of a religious experience drinking
this
right.
beer. That's right. And as we've said before, if you drink enough monk beer, you don't have to go to church for a month.
We didn't have to go to church today.
No.
Because we were at the church on Friday for the fish fry.
Eating right. fish.
Yes, eating fish. Every Friday during Lent, there's a fish fry over at the church.
Right.
And while we were there, Tom noticed the stack of bulletins that were to be passed out on Sunday. He said, if I grab one of these bulletins, we don't have to go to church on Sunday because we will have the ticket. And if anybody comes to our house, they'll see the bulletin laying on the counter. They'll assume we've been to church. And
that's
by
right.
anybody, I mean my parents, because they're the ones that check to make sure we've been to church.
Still.
Yeah. Even though we're in our 30s.
They're still checking
that. Okay. Yeah, because that's the way.
Well,
go.
They want to make sure that the wonderful job they did raising you continues.
And you need to have something to confess anyways.
So but the Paul Anner was a great beer. And
BJCP has more history.
Huh?
It says, history of Bavarian specialty, first brewed in Munich by the monks of St. Francis of Paula. Historical versions were less well attenuated than modern interpretations, with consequently higher sweetness and lower alcohol levels.
Hmm.
liquid bread by the monks. The term Doppel, or double Bock, was coined by Munich consumers. Many Doppelbocks have names ending in A-T-O-R, either as a tribute to the prototypical Salvator or to take advantage of the beer's popularity.
Okay.
So maybe it'd be fun if we all just added that to the end of our names for the
Aiders,
show.
Yeah,
like Seasonator.
Yeah.
I want to be the Seasonator.
The Hagerbomberator.
Rick Aider.
Well, and I've seen that before, though. The Celebrators and Spatinators.
And the beer we were about to enjoy. The Bell's Consecrator.
Right, and this is one that we have been looking forward to because we've been hearing about Bell's for a while. Our friends on the Good Beer Show, Jeffrey T., he's always drinking something from Bell's.
They had a whole Bell's summer wheat thing.
Yeah.
That,
and apparently Bell's is pretty prolific in their line.
Really, right? I've really been wanting to try it for a long time.
Right. So. And so when I was in Chicago, I made a trip to a store, which I think I referred to that the last show. And I had to call Rick while I'm standing in this wonderful beer store. I found Bell's beer. And not only that, but I found a Bock beer, knowing our next show was
Bock's.
About Bock's. Yeah. So this worked out really well. Brought back the Consecrator Doppel Bock. We've popped it open, poured it into our glass. And what do you think?
Not too much aroma. Has a fairly thick head. It's a golden-colored head. Mm-hmm. It's a dark beer, like all the Bock's are.
Mm-hmm.
A little harsh.
Yeah, and I think that's from the alcohol. I looked it up, and I don't have this in front of me, but I want to say it was like 8%. I mean, it was like off the scale for a Doppelbock.
I want to say when I drank it, I felt a little tingle go all the way down, like into my little fingertips and into my little toes.
Sometimes the back of my scalp tingles a little bit. So that's how I know I'm drinking a good
okay.
beer.
So Susan,
yes.
if a fellow were to apply a girl with some Doppelbock.
Yeah, I think that it starts making everybody look a little cuter.
Is that
would
what
you rather have?
Okay.
The,
makes everybody a little bit funnier.
Salvatore or the Consecrator?
Okay.
I'd say the
oh,
one
the Consecrator. Is that like closing the deal or something?
Yes,
I was
going
to say that reminds me of some of my marriage vows, doesn't it? Something about consecrating your marriage.
Let's consecrate
something?
This deal.
Okay,
yeah, I mean,
okay, the Consecrator beer. So Bell's did. This is one of those that I think taste wise, I'm still liking the Salvatore.
Mm-hmm.
Better so far of all the Bock's we've had and of the Doppel Bock's we've only had a couple.
Initially I was leaning towards the Bell's, right. But I'm kind of leaning back the other way now. So.
And Trey has had to go upstairs, I think, and walk around for a while because this is high alcohol beer.
Yeah.
And
that's why we're
already,
enlisting all this help.
Yeah, well, that's why we've got to have this help. So just something to consider if you're going to have some Bock beers, be careful. Because it's high alcohol. There's no way around it. You're not going to get a Bock beer that's in low alcohol. I think the lowest alcohol one is the Shiner, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
That, so, like, that, drinking one of these would be like drinking two something else?
Because Shiner we can get at our grocery store, so it has to be under 6%.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's a high, it's pushing the envelope, right? So, Shiner Bock here in Tennessee can't buy anything over 6% in the grocery store. Shiner
I wonder
Bock,
Shiner starts at 10.64 or 10.64.
They got to be the bottom, near the bottom.
I don't know that they could and still get under 6% alcohol.
Well, you know, you said something earlier in your description of the Salvator, that the monks referred to it and that the beer has been attenuated since, that it used to be a lot sweeter, a lot lower in alcohol. So apparently they fermented it slightly different where it wasn't quite as alcoholic. Now, I don't know if Shiner, and I know they're an old brewery, they're 100-something years old,
mm-hmm.
they've, who knows, right? Maybe they've found a way to brew their beer, which, you know, like we talked about.
Well, they don't have to follow the Rheinheitsgebot.
Right, you know. Right, because they're in Texas.
I'm going to head to the beer cellar.
Okay, and we're going for yet another one.
Okay, I'll stay for one more. I told Tom I'd be at the playground in 10 minutes.
That's right.
He'll be fine.
So we borrowed Susan. Tom was in here. He left. Now Susan's in here. And we've got people coming and going, and we're looking for all the help we can get.
Well, you know what? It's the flashing lights. I mean, when you walk by the house and you see the neon flashing lights.
That's what it is.
And then you see the limos pulling up in the driveway. You start going, what's going on?
Well, and you know, we're all about the glitz and the glamour.
That's true.
Which provides me with a convenient segue into one of our topics of discussion for today. Now, we were, of course, all up in our dressed up in our finery for Oscar night, and we were celebrating with everybody else when 3-6 Mafia got their nomination and consequently won.
I used to date one of those guys.
The 3-6 guys?
Mm-hmm.
Get out. Which one?
The three.
The three? Okay. Well, and was that was before he went
I
to the big house?
I defy you guys to
asked?
Name any of the band members.
Well,
one of them just got out of the band.
Three, six.
Okay. Hey, we're going to have a rap retrospective later on.
Juicy
Don't
J,
get me started.
Right?
Juicy J, yeah. And Frasier Boy.
Project Pat. Is he one of them?
No,
he's
might
a different
old one.
He's a different group.
But Frasier Boy, and who lives out here now?
In Collierville?
Everybody's moving out here, yeah.
One of these guys lives in Collierville?
Yeah, they're all in Collierville or Cordova. All the members of Saliva, they're all moving out here in 3-6.
People that are not familiar with our area, this is not exactly the hotbed of
gangster rap.
I mean, I can't imagine what they would draw from their experiences out here in Collierville to rap about. It'd be like, I was at the Schnucks, that's the grocery store, and they were all out of avocados.
Get out.
I mean, that would be about what you could rap about.
There could be rioting at the Schnucks if they were out of avocados.
I mean, really.
So you think they're losing their street credibility?
I think that you might be losing your street credibility if
just
you moved to Collierville,
bit.
Tennessee.
Okay. Well, you know, we're keeping it real in Collierville, and the Memphis rappers are also keeping it real. I'm reading the bastion of journalism here in Memphis, the commercial appeal. Memphis rappers recording with Hilton. First Oscar, now Paris. Paris Hilton, that is. The Academy Award-winning Memphis rappers 3-6 Mafia are producing and recording tracks with Paris Hilton for her upcoming music debut. Can we spell sell out?
Well, while you were cooking upstairs, we were talking about this, and I am a Paris Hilton fan. She is a talented person.
Well, as I said, I have seen her video, and I will agree with you. She's quite talented, but I don't think we're talking about the same source of talents, are
she's
we?
She's hot.
Okay. Oh, well, maybe we are talking.
You know what?
Have you seen her video?
Yes, I actually have. I will admit.
Yeah, I like that use of green lights. I don't understand that. But
that's called night vision.
Oh. Okay.
I can't read anything out of that paper because that's my rival paper.
That's right. You're probably going head-to-head with Yolanda Jones, the reporter of this. But I thought
Susan needs to make an announcement. And,
yeah.
I have a big announcement.
And we'll record it this time.
That's right.
I have
a job.
This is really big, and it's high paying. I have a job. It's a very important job. I'm going to be a journalist, and I'm going to spread information throughout Collierville.
Okay, and what sort of information?
So you're no longer a lady of leisure.
No, I'm not just going to just sit around with those three kids eating bonbons, waiting for the soaps to come on. I'm going to be working.
So what are you? You're reporting the social scene, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be the party girl for the Collierville Independent.
And that's
meaning
cool.
that I'm going to go to various parties, take pictures, write who's who and what's what and who's there. And if anybody wants to check it out, I've already had my first column, and it's in the ColliervilleIndependent.com.
Okay,
so you have to go to like Lifestyles.
Anyone can go to that
Independent. And they will be so impressed with my awesome journalistic skills.
Well, and I want to tell you to continue with this story because we did not.
He's bound and determined to get the story.
I got to get this one.
Talk about Paris Hilton.
I got to tell you this. This is we're off
don't
Paris.
Stand a chance
we're
with
we're
Paris.
Back on the 3-6.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So apparently they just ran into her at a party, and I guess they threw enough money at him. Here, would you work with this goofy blonde no talent person here? And they said, "Hell yeah!" But they came back to town. Now we're in April 2nd. Right?
Very close to an important
today.
Date.
And what I want to point out that yesterday, Saturday, and I don't know if anybody realized it was April 1st, but Saturday, the trio from 3-6 Mafia was in Memphis for 3-6 Mafia Day. It was 3-6 Mafia Day yesterday.
April Fool's Day is 3-6 Mafia Day.
Go figure.
You know what else happened? I got that pregnancy test back. I'm so excited, Dick.
What?
We're going to have our own little beer baby. Oh. That happened yesterday.
Are you?
You and I. Okay. But it's April Fool's.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he started. Dick started blushing. He started sweating.
A whole gamut of emotions.
I have
going
four already.
Here.
The fifth will put me over the edge.
Oh, my God. Okay. So I'm completely off the Paris Hilton thing now.
That's enough of that, isn't it?
Okay.
And you can catch 3-6 Mafia at Memphis in May Music Festival.
Absolutely. Oh, as we, awesome. We reported last
one
time.
One of the featured artists.
That's right. Well, you know, we'll have to come up with some Collierville Memphis in May party so Susan can report on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we
yeah.
can bring beer into the mix,
uh-huh.
and we'll just have a good time. So I wanted to pick back up because we need to close out this segment with we'd been talking about WDIA before. It was the first black-owned operated music station in the United States.
They before started, we do that, the trip to the beer cellar resulted in.
Oh, we got another one?
The Incinerator.
We didn't even notice we were drinking another one, did we, Dick?
I haven't had it. Is this,
this is
what
from
I've got
Two
hand?
Brothers Brewing Company. Yes, it okay. is.
You poured this in. Yes, because I held it up to the microphone.
Dances on your tongue. Artisan bottling.
It almost feels like it's waltzing on my tongue.
This is a much hoppier one.
Incinerator is one of a series of special limited run beers and styles that are more extreme or unusual. Mm. Okay, it was going to be a malt Maybach, but you know how mischievous goats can be. Anyway, we ended up with
those
this.
Goats. They get you every time, don't
those
they?
Darn goats.
What to do but add a crack of black pepper? Around here, we call it Goatzilla, but you don't have...
They put black pepper in this beer?
But don't let that fool you.
I don't know about...
Noah is a kitten.
I don't know about goats, but I did read on the beer report about sheep. I don't understand what it means or anything like that, but I headed my way over to thebeerreport.com, and they were talking about sheep.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they said something about y'all and sheep, but that's all I got.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a show where there was way too much mention of sheep, and I guess I picked up on that.
Okay, so now it's going to be right,
good. They must have put out a show that I missed. I need to catch up.
Yeah, we got
to
catch up.
32 IBUs, 8.2% alcohol by volume.
Okay, so we are continuing to increase the alcohol.
I was going to say this one does not give me quite as much of a warm, tingly, special feeling.
I didn't get that either.
I don't know if
you only get one of those a night.
Yeah.
Well, at our house, sometimes two or three.
Okay. Thank you for
that's
sharing,
how you run.
Susan. So this has got a goat dancing, blowing fire out of its mouth.
It does have a great, great
on
label.
The label.
That's cute.
Right. It's the Incinerator Blonde Doppelbach, and I don't see the blonde. Well, I guess it's a little lighter in color.
But did you get
much.
That? Yeah. Did you feel that tingly? I really didn't.
No, I didn't. And I got a lot more hops than usual, but it's a higher alcohol. And that's the whole thing about beers. You never know what you're going to get into.
Well, if you want tingly, stick around for the next segment when we go into the ice box, which is where they take a Doppelbach, freeze it, remove the ice, and have
you might just have to give me
beer.
A to-go cup.
Okay. All right, so we're going to take a break, and we're going to enjoy some more from what we're playing are cuts from the WDIA commemorative 2-disc set. This is available. You can purchase it on Amazon. You can buy it at local record stores. It's a fantastic CD. That the first disc has just historical things. And I'll point out that some of the disc jockeys at WDIA was the blues boy himself, B.B. King. He started off as a disc jockey there. Rufus Thomas was a DJ. All kinds of folks that was there. We're going to play another cut. And this is a cut from... I guess around the 60s, and this is by Memphis' own Barquets. Barquets are a very interesting group. They've been around for a while, and Rick, being a disco aficionado, will remember their tune Freak Show, which made real big noise back in the disco days.
Remember it? He lived it.
That's right. He was there. And I think he still wears his leisure suit every once in a while. So this is You're My Joy by the Barquets.
My life's been hell. my heaven. You've been by my side all 24/7. You gave me time more than my share. Woman, I wouldn't have been here, or you wouldn't have been there. I'm the man I am, 'cause you brought me this far. Say,
you're my love,
my love.
You're my joy,
you're my joy.
You're my peace, baby.
You're my peace, baby.
Yeah, yeah. You're my heart,
oh, you're my heart.
You're my soul,
oh, my soul.
My soul. Yeah. You're all I need and much more.
Hey, hey.
I don't know why, but you saw something in me say at all. A woman, you held me up whenever I started to fall. I don't know why, but you didn't give up, girl. And when it comes to mistakes, woman, I made enough. You stayed right through all those wasted years. You forgave me for all those tears, girl. And my life complete, all because of you. Anything you ask, oh, you know I do.
You're my love, you're my joy,
you're my joy,
you're my peace, baby.
I'm here
forevermore. You're my love,
you're my heart,
you're my soul,
you're my soul.
You're all I need and much more.
Together, joy, love, peace, and happiness. So happiness, the place, our destiny. You and me, let's get married, baby, tied or not. Fly away like angels, don't stop. We won't stop, my joy.
I can see forever.
The Barquets, You're My Joy. And as it turns out, I was wrong about this being an old song. It's actually a new song off their 27th album, and apparently it made the cut for this classic two-disc set from the WDIA, which I screwed up on that too. It's America's first all-black programmed radio station. I have no idea about the owners, but great CD, great songs. The Barquets have been around for a long time. I was telling them during the break that they're having a special party at Senses. Of course, this will be long gone by the time you hear this. But the deal was anyone 40 or older was allowed into Senses for free because we're celebrating the Barquets' 40th year in show business. So that's pretty good. I mean, for anybody to stay together 40 years on anything,
no matter what. And so that was pretty cool. And so we were listening to this, and Susan, you were saying you like Al Green, and you like some of this music, and I think that it's very representative of that sort of style.
Love and Happiness, that is our favorite song.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, that's a classic. And I don't think, you know, we've never, I don't know if we mentioned Al Green, but we got all this musical influence here. Al Green and...
And Al Green still has his own church here in Memphis.
And members of my family have been to it. Anybody can go.
We probably mentioned it in the Missing Show 15.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Now, where is that church, in case anybody comes to visit Memphis?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. We need to bring her in here. It used to be out on Airways, but it's out in the outskirts of town.
Is it? What do you know the name of the church?
No, oh. I don't. But we'll find it.
I think that would be an awesome thing if you were coming to visit Memphis,
absolutely.
The whole Memphis thing.
Get up on Sunday
morning and go over there and check out Al Green's church.
And
they could not be nicer there.
Oh, yeah. And visitors are welcome.
Well, here's the backstory. My sister-in-law, she is my sister-in-law, right?
Yeah.
She's my brother-in-law's wife.
I call that your sister-in-law.
Is that a sister-in-law? Yeah. Okay. My brother-in-law's wife, if she is my sister-in-law, she is a deaconess or something there. She's at the church.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
So she's big buddies with Al Green, and so my wife and daughter,
get him on the show.
Yeah, that would be a neat feat. my wife and daughter went there, and they just had a great time. And
did they have a lot of good gospel music throughout?
Well, listen, this is what I want to say. Al Green, world renowned, you know, legend, right? And anyway, he goes and he takes enough time, sign a little CD, and send it home like 2 weeks later. So Al Green, he's got high marks in my book.
And we're introducing another beer.
Oh, okay.
We're into the Aventinus Weizen Eisbach.
Right. And this is a dark-looking rascal.
Yeah, you try it.
All right, so you said something before the break about what this is.
Aventinus, the wheat Doppelbach of Bavaria has been known by the most... I'm sorry. Is known to be the most intense and complex wheat beer in the world. This was the case in the past, but not any longer.
It put a little smile on Trey's face. That's all I know.
Yes, yeah.
it made him go down to the beer cellar and get a couple more of those.
Right. Well, it's so good we're getting another one.
Okay.
But you were telling me, though, Rick, earlier about how they make an ice box.
Yeah, hold on. Recently, Hans Peter Drexler, brewmaster at G. Schneider & Sohn, heard tales about an extra special Aventinus. Aventinus.
I don't know, but you know our
resulting
rule. If we don't know how to pronounce it, we'll
just say it in the accent.
Like. Aventinus.
Aventinus.
Who knows?
Resulting from partial freezing during a cold winter transport in the 1930s, he decided to recreate this classic mistake to further concentrate Aventinus in a modern controlled facility. Thus, Aventinus Eisbach was born. Alcohol by volume, 12%.
Yeah, 12. Now, you know, I've heard about ice wine, and it's essentially the same process. And the whole point of this is to remove some of the ice from it, and apparently Rick's looking at his...
I got chunks.
You got chunks in there.
I have the history on that. Is that this history?
Yeah,
that,
for the ice bot?
Yeah, it's brewed by freezing a Doppelbock and removing the ice to concentrate the flavor and alcohol content, as well as any defects. But Rick seems to find a few defects in his.
Well, look at mine.
I think yours is chunky.
Mine as well.
Chunky style. This must be fermented in the bottle.
It's like a little chunky peanut.
All right. So as we went around pouring the second bottle of ice vodka.
Chunky too. It's not just yours, guys. So
is that the tagline for it? Mine's chunky too.
Is it going to be like a king cake? If you find the baby in the bottom, you have to buy the next one?
Okay, so it's a chewy beer then. All right, well, Rick, you got the most chunks. Did you try it?
Yes, it's very good. It's very dark.
Does it feel fibrous?
Fibrous?
Is that a word?
Yeah, fibrous is definitely
beer.
A word.
Okay,
no,
you can have your beer
fibrous.
And your fiber, too.
It's good for old people.
That's right. And old people like it, too. So, as we can tell, the 12% alcohol is directly affecting us. I guess we've been, like, cascading upwards, right? This is our most high-powered Bock beer, and kids, don't try this at home.
Now, where I got this was in Placerville, California, and that place is known as Hangtown. And the reason it's known as Hangtown is because during the gold rush, that's where they took people for hanging.
Yeah, well, but so, only those who needed it, right?
Which is probably a lot of those rowdy folks.
There's anyway, a lot of them. Because they were all tore up on icebox.
So I bought it at a little shop called the Winesmith, which is in the historic downtown. And what a cool place. Yeah. It was a homebrew supply store. They sold really great beers on tap, and they had really great beers in the fridge, and they sold wine also. So, you know, they had the local homebrew club, homebrew supplies, great beers and wines.
Just
and
everything a beer nerd would want.
Yeah, in right? Placerville,
California.
You can
spend way too much time. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, this...
Kudos to them.
This is getting right up there with barley wine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is... this one... and I got a little chunk. I got chunks.
We don't even need to eat dinner.
It's thicker. It's more intense flavor. It's not as alcoholic as you would think it would be with being 12% alcohol. But it's a tasty beverage. I could drink too much of this and have a very short night. You can tell. But it's good. I like it. What do y'all think?
It is very good. It's strong, malty flavor.
I mean, since we went through two bottles really quick.
I'm looking around. I'm seeing smiles. Okay. I'm seeing a little
of course, sleep. What we're starting to get is my wife said, your eyes are squinty. So we're getting the squinty eyes from this.
And but I think no, we got good. A little yeast to kind of perk us up.
Yeah. So it's good. Very good. Very good. And so we got some more news. And Susan, you were talking about something during the break also. About we referenced Martin Luther King earlier in the program, and you came across something on eBay, right?
Yes, I'm an eBay shopper. I'm an eBay seller. I love eBay. I like to check it out all the time. And one thing that I noticed in the paper the other day, and as soon as I saw eBay in the headline, I had to check it out, was that there is a local judge here that's kind of controversial, and he owned... D. Army Bailey, I believe, is who it was. I'm not 100% sure on that, but 57% sure that he owned the bathtub that Lee Harvey Oswald was standing in when he shot Martin Luther King on April 4th. Mm-hmm. I know that because that's Tom's birthday, and I'm trying to figure out how to replicate the idea of the door that I got for the Valentine's Day. How do I do something that good?
What is equivalent to giving him a door?
I'm thinking like a cashmere sweater for me.
That would be good
for his birthday.
Yeah, give him a sweater you want.
Yeah, or a purse, something like that.
Give him a purse, but put a beer in it.
Exactly.
So it's on topic.
Pots and pans.
But yeah. Anyway, the guy. Whoever it was that owned it, which I think was D. Army Bailey, but maybe not,
so he put it
sold
on
it on eBay, and it sold to GoldenPalace.com, which is an online casino, which their thing is they like to bid on unusual things like a little donut that looks like Mother Teresa or somebody that is auctioning off the rights to their baby's name. Mm-hmm. You know, when they deliver the baby, the winner gets to name the baby. But anyway, and there's a big deal in Memphis, like... Were they going to do something irreverent with this bathtub, or were they going to treat it with respect or not?
So, yeah. Are they going to treat that bathtub?
Well, I think it's kind of a horrible thing to memorialize, actually.
A bathtub?
Well, yeah, it is. This is kind of, yeah.
But
yeah.
As we were talking about, if you do make the trip to Memphis, not only to meet and get the autographs of Rick and Dick, which would be your first stop.
Your primary
stop by the studios.
By the studios. You can try to get an appointment, try to get a tour. You'll have to go through Trey, the security guard, through the beer. What's the broom boy's name?
Martin.
Martin, the broom boy. And then, so that would be one stop to make. Another stop would be to Al Green's church. And then a third stop would definitely be to the Civil Rights Museum,
right.
Which is
and the Lorraine Motel.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
and
important.
It is. It's a very fascinating thing. So we've got all this culture here. And one other bit of cultural note we need to point out. Recently got a lot of national attention. Chef. From South Park.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And in
he's
case
a
you know,
we're very proud.
He's
very
a local. Isaac Hayes is the voice of Chef, and Isaac Hayes was a writer and producer at Stax. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that you don't really know what people did to get prominence. You know, you just know, here's Isaac Hayes, here's Al Green. You just don't think about how they got to where they were. Isaac Hayes was a writer, and he wrote many of the early R&B songs that are out there. He teamed up with David Porter. He teamed up with a lot of them to produce some just classic R&B songs. His gold-plated Cadillac is featured at the Stax Museum. It's just a fantastic thing. You need to come here and see that. But Isaac Hayes, having enjoyed that, and, of course, he's shot to stardom with the theme from Shaft. And then recently he's enjoyed a resurgence with his role as chef on South Park. Okay. So somewhere along the line, apparently he hadn't been stopping at Al Green's church long enough. He got sucked up into the Church of Scientology.
No.
And, of course, we're tolerant of all religions as much as the next guy. Here at Big Foamy Head, Isaac, he just took a little bit of offense.
He obviously does not live in these here parts no more, because I can't imagine that we have a Scientology church anywhere close in Memphis.
If there is one here, I'm not aware of it, and that's definitely something we got to look into.
Yes, because that might be a good field trip to check it out.
Oh, absolutely, and as I understand it, it's something that the first bump's for free. And then you got to pay to learn a little more. But
reminds me of my dating days so very much.
I know they audit you.
There's a story there that is probably long and sordid.
Yes, but we cannot discuss.
Okay, and while we're talking about Chef, and because let's remember his epic song, Chocolate Salty Balls. You like that segue here?
Yes, I do.
Our next beer that we're pouring is a very special. Rick, tell us about this beer.
And as I said, anything with chocolate or coffee,
what a beautiful,
and Dick just perks right up.
Look at this. It's a beautiful label. It's like metal stamped.
I think you have some kind of brown fascination. It's something with dark brown.
Thank you.
Well, this is a Sam Adams Extreme beer.
Right.
Samuel Adams Chocolate Bulk.
Before you tell us about it, I wanted to say one thing, though, that this is something we need to look up for future reference. I know Justin Timberlake is doing something with some, it might be Stax, it might be Sun Studio. I can't remember exactly what it is. Have y'all heard that? That was in the news in the last week or two. Justin Timberlake
is. Yeah. Well, it's good.
No.
Who?
He's a
Justin Timberlake.
Now,
you know,
pop
we know
guy.
Who he is.
You know, NSYNC. He dates Cameron Diaz. You should know who that is.
Okay.
She's a hot
So what's he doing? What's he doing?
She's hot.
He's doing something with one of these studios. Seriously, I can't remember. I think it might be Sun Studios.
They couldn't have picked a better person for the party girl in the local.
That's right. Yeah, here's her column. Okay, some guy is coming
in
doing something. I'm not really sure what it is.
There's a lot of likes in my column.
Okay, for sure.
It's really cool. And I say awesome a whole bunch.
Do you write that out?
Yeah.
You get paid by the word? Is that what it is?
I wish.
We probably cut you off. You were probably making a point, right?
Okay. Yeah, somewhere around there was a point.
Justin Timberlake is dating a hottie.
And he has something to do with either Stax or Sun.
I believe it's Sun. The more I talk about it, the more I think
it's Sun. And we're going to bring Sun.
I mean, that is a very legitimate studio, and we should not be laughing
about it. No. Sun is coming. Sun is coming in. We're going to bring Sun in later on. It's just
that
right now.
That would be another stop on the tour.
Absolutely.
Dick and Rick's, Al Green's Church, Lorraine Motel, Sun Studio, all of those.
And
would be
Soulsville, USA. Got to. The Stax Museum.
Okay,
so we're going to find out more next show, bring in more about whatever the hell it is that Justin Timberlake's doing. We've got in front of us, Rick has brought an extreme beer from Sam Adams.
One of those boy bands?
Yeah, you are. NSYNC.
NSYNC.
But this is the thing, you know, we are kind of on the fence about whether we're going to badmouth Sam Adams
that
or not.
That is so good.
Because they have sold their soul to the
Sorry
big
to
devil.
And
well,
they advertise a lot, but
they
everything they do just
well,
about.
Well, personally, I'm not a big Sam Adams fan. I love their wit beer that they've got out now, the white ale.
I didn't know they had it out.
Yeah, it's out in the north. It's a great, great beverage, but this, what we've talked about before, they do a lot of boutique and extreme beers. And so this
I just took a sip of it. So good.
It's a chocolate.
That's why I said bomb. So good. And that's why I said it too loud. Sorry about that. Ooh,
but it's got a really nice.
12, that's more than we pay for our champagne at our house. Yeah, it's wonderful.
I figured it'd be a great way to end the box show.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's like drinking Hershey's. That's good stuff.
I think Hershey's isn't good stuff, I have to tell you. It's like drinking.
That is a fantastic.
Denstals.
I mean, this is a.
Say Denstals.
This is not a dessert beer. I don't know what it is.
So it says Samuel Adams Chocolate Bock is brewed, fermented, and like all other Samuel Adams lager beers, then krausened. The beer is then aged in a process similar to dry hopping on a bed of cocoa nibs. Cocoa nibs, the primary ingredient in chocolate.
Cocoa nibs.
You said nib.
Not nips, nibs.
Oh, nibs.
Impart an aroma and flavor of the fine chocolate to the beer. A small amount of vanilla, also used in the production of chocolate, is added. The combination of flavors results in a malty, chocolatey, and wonderfully complex Bach
beer. I mean, if this is a little thicker, this would be great on ice cream. I mean, this is good stuff.
Or on your wife.
It's like dessert. Thank you.
To me, it's more vanilla-y than chocolatey. Do you taste
I noticed Trey's just squirming just a little bit.
Those are my beers. La, 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 la. Don't you taste the vanilla more than the chocolate? Or
I
no?
do. It's like a milk. It's like a...
milkshake.
I've had like Belgian chocolates that are like this. This is very good. It's
very
chocolatey.
Good.
Now, what's the alcohol content?
Trey?
Have you got that?
5.5. It's low.
Uh-huh. Get out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so we've gone all the way up to 12, and then we dropped down to 5.5. So, good stuff.
Two row pale, caramel 60, Munich 10, chocolate malts, Tattnanger.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we're very mild
Spalter,
hops.
Spalter, noble hops.
Yeah.
Yeast is bottom fermenting lager yeast, available in limited edition brew. First started brewing in 2003.
Okay, now something I noticed about, and you mentioned this on all the beers, but we didn't really get all up in it. These are all lagered beers.
Yes, yeah.
So what does lagered mean for those of us who?
It's cold. Lager basically means cold storage.
Okay.
Right. So that means that the beer is fermented cold, it's aged cold, it's conditioned cold. Everything's
right. So
cold.
What are most beers just stored in?
Well, ales are kind of warmer.
Yeah. Ales are done at warmer temperatures, and they're top fermenting yeast.
Yes, which was a mistake I made in the previous show. I was saying that my Bock was top fermented. It was actually bottom fermented.
It's a different type of yeast that can live at colder temperatures way, way back before refrigeration. They put this beer in caves. So cooler temperature, and instead of the yeast going dormant, they continued to work, but slowly. So it's a beer that takes longer time to reach its maturity or when it's ready.
Yeah,
ready
it
to
was.
Drink.
It's been taking up my refrigerator. You know,
yeah,
I've got one of these temperature controlled freezers,
them, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it's been in there for a long time.
It's something. It just takes a long time to get the beer done, and that's when we talk about Oktoberfest and Marzen beers. Those are typically you plan on when you're going to brew it for when it's going to be ready.
Yeah,
this would be one. This bottle would be one to like share with friends. Not that you could drink three of them in a row.
No, this is not.
This is like a little.
This is a very flavorful beer.
You wouldn't want to drink several of these, I don't think.
But it's very chocolatey.
Yes,
I mean extremely.
It would be nice. Like,
do you prefer this over the fruit beers we had last show or two shows ago?
No, I cannot get over the cherry beer. I cannot. I've been dreaming about the cherry beer. I mean, that's why I came over here. I told Tom when he came over. See if they have the cherry beer and bring one home. But okay. Rick said they were out of the cherry beer.
Now, well, that was a very special one. We'll bring it. We'll work our Wisconsin connection to bring some more down.
If any of our listeners in Wisconsin want to hook us up,
that's right. We're willing to take it.
But didn't I insult? Sorry, Wisconsin listeners. When I insulted Wisconsin, when I said the only reason to go to Wisconsin would be to go to the brewery and get the beer,
and I reminded
sure
you of the Packers,
things, and you can go
for the cheese. Also,
I have been to Wisconsin, and I have no problem with going back. There's too many good things there.
They're salt of the earth people, and they enjoy the things.
So this is a fantastic beer.
Oh yeah. This is one to share with your friends at the end of the night. Wrap up, talk about, like, maybe after a night out, if you've done some things and you want to come back and talk about it.
Finishing.
Yeah. You share it with your friends.
It's like a dessert.
It's a good way to wrap up the Bock beer show.
Oh my God! Did you see what she was wearing?
That's right.
Oh yeah! Did you see what she was wearing? Well, have some of this beer. And that was so awesome when you told that girl.
That's what Rick and I did.
And Dick and I are all
about that. We just talk about what other people
wear.
Did you
see the shoes that she wore with that skirt?
Have a little sip of this chocolate beer, girl. Right. Let's talk about it.
Now,
you know what this would be perfect for? This Friday night.
Tell us. What would it be perfect for?
This Friday night.
Yes.
I'm in this little service club. It's kind of like a sortie for grown-ups. And we are actually going to have a slumber party.
Sweet. Can we come knock at the windows?
No.
Where is this at?
I cannot remember.
If you look out, like there's these noses pressed up against the glass.
There's going to be...
It's like, shh, be quiet.
There's going to
be... We're at the slumber party.
There's going to be 15... 30-something-year-old women at this slumber party. Now, this is how you can tell how Dick and Rick are, that they're like, ooh, 30-something-year-old
women. We're going to get out our tearaway leather pants and show up.
They're like, ooh, little kids. Yeah. So that just shows you how old Dick and Rick are, for those of you that don't know. Well, anyway,
over the hill.
We're going to be at the slumber party on Friday night, and we're going to be discussing our upcoming events and activities for our club.
Does this club have a name?
Yeah, it's WIX.
WIX?
Women in Colleyville Community Service. If you would read the column, you could read more about it.
Okay, this is in your column?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like a story.
I don't know. What is this column rated? You're talking about 30-year-old women getting all tore up and wearing their pajamas?
No. So the point is, as we are sitting around Friday night discussing our upcoming goals for WIX for the next year, you know, we're going to be talking about who we're going to elect for officers, and then we're going to start tickling each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, pillow fights, right?
Pillow fights.
Take pictures. Take movies. Yeah, I've got a video camera you can borrow.
Anyway, this beer would be perfect for that.
I can hear the bulletin board now on the beer report, because they've already made Susan like their groupie. And so there's going to be all kinds of conversation going on.
Can I say... that Groucho seems like such a very nice, sweet boy, and I would love to meet him. Seems like a great guy. Chud also, he did not actually listen to our show. So
he's the dark side of the Beer Report.
These are brothers, correct?
Yeah.
But Jamie and I, my sister, made our way over to the brothers' website, and they were so very welcoming, so very nice, so very kind.
Well,
and we're going to have to go back over there more often.
Well, once they've heard about the pillow fight and sorority sleepover thing,
I
can't guarantee how they're going to act. Yeah, you need to put pictures up for that.
So anyway, the Beer Report was a good place to head, a good place to go. I enjoyed their confrontation board. They had a lot of good information over there.
Okay. So you've been picking up things.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. All right. I've got to rein it back in.
Oh, okay.
Enough self-promotion, Susan.
We've talked about Stacks. We've been going down the Stacks Avenue with their lineup, and I read this in the commercial appeal, but Stacks went out of business in the 70s. After the Watt-Stacks revolution, that they had a huge show, then they... You like those chips, do you?
Can I say that the
you know, that's a microphone Tim's, has an off switch. Feel
the
free
Tim's
to use it.
Cascade style potato chips, wasabi. Those are very nice. Okay. I'm very sorry.
And people enjoy the sounds of chewing.
I did not know that was
real Susan Mowers grinding together. Right there.
I did not realize it was that close. I'm sorry.
But we digress. So we mentioned Stacks, and one of the things that I want to say, although the label has shut down, they've revived themselves as Soulsville USA, and they're trying to resurrect a lot of the feeling of the R&B and the whole neighborhood. Let's bring our community in and lift their voices. So they got a lot of kids that they've been teaching in this style from years ago, right? And they call it the Stacks Express. And this is 16, 17-year-old kids. They got a picture on commercial appeal of two kids playing Take Me to the River, right, which everybody's covered. Okay. The Stacks Express is packing up.
I like the Talking Heads version.
Well, you hadn't heard the Al Green, Lenny Kravitz version.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Is it good?
Fantastic stuff.
You haven't heard
So if you hadn't heard Al Green, dude, Take Me to the River, you hadn't heard it. So these guys are packing up, and they are heading to Porretta Terme, Italy, also known as the European stronghold of Memphis music. Now, this is a, you know, I would have
I didn't
never,
know there was a European strong
I would
Memphis
never,
music.
Ever have. If you'd asked me, and you know how I am about Memphis music, I did not know.
You know everything.
I did not know this.
Everything
so
and everybody. About.
It's this trip is kind of like a recreation of the 1967 Stax Vault European Tour. And just so you know, many record labels have multiple labels so they can continue to release things without oversaturating one label. Volt was the second label of Stax.
They are heading to Paretta, and they're going to perform in, get this, Rufus Thomas Park, which is near...
In Italy.
In Italy. They've named a park after Rufus Thomas, who was our first song, and that's near Via Otis Redding, the street named Otis Redding. Oh, so okay. These people, the entire town has embraced the culture of Memphis music. This is a huge deal, and it says that the Paretta Soul Festival will feature former Stax artist Wayne Jackson of the Memphis Horns, who I've also referred to. Remember when we mm-hmm. had Chris Love mm-hmm. on the show? Because Wayne Jackson, Andrew Love, Memphis Horns, we just got all kinds of this. Now we've got a Memphis, Italy connection going on. So I'm very interested in finding out how it turns out. But it looks like it's just a fantastic thing for these kids to go over there, and they're going to be welcomed. It's just like, you know, they're bringing the soul back to Italy of all places. So we need to wind up because we have had way too much fun with Susan and Trey. And I think he said three words, but that was him laughing in the background. But I think he's – have you enjoyed the beers?
Very much so.
We had to, he was helping bail us out because these 8, 9, 12% alcohol beers.
Let's act like we're professionals and rank the beers. Which one do you like best?
The Salvatore. Honestly, okay. I thought the Salvatore was fantastic out of all of them.
I've been through a six-pack of that already.
Second one, the Chocolate Bock as a finishing beer. It's fantastic.
Aventinas?
Is that the Aventinas? Range? Oh, yeah. That was good.
A nice, strong
one.
I
put that at 2, and the Chocolate Bock is 3.
I like the chocolate for the novelty and for the
whole... what? Chocolate?
Yeah, that too.
You're cut off.
The chocolate. For the novelty and for the whole pillow fight sleepover.
Yeah, okay. Any beer that inspires pillow fights.
It makes me just want to tickle Trey.
Trey, which ones you like?
I like the tickle beer.
tickle beer is good.
Tickling and tingling.
The one after the Salvatore. I actually like that.
The incinerator?
The best, yeah.
With the fire-breathing gut?
Is that the one after?
No, it's the Bells.
The Bells. Yes. Okay, yeah, Bells is pretty good stuff, yeah.
I would say that the one thing I don't like about the Bells, they don't have a great label. The incinerator have a great label. It's not the colors.
It's got two goats on it.
Okay.
Not one goat.
They do. Farm animals.
It's a doppelbock, so a doppelbock gets two goats.
It all goes back to the farm animals. That's for you, Chud and...
Groucho.
Groucho. I brought it back to the farm animals.
And week. Rick, what beer did I like?
Yeah, Rick. What
like?
My homebrew by a guy.
Yes, you did. Oh, yeah.
We loved my homebrew the best.
Rick, I missed the homebrew. I wasn't there.
Yeah, that's
right. You weren't here. Your husband had something.
No, your homebrew was very good. And so,
you know what else I liked? The wasabi chips.
Oh, those are very good. Oh, the shrimp were excellent.
The shrimp was awesome.
Okay.
Okay, a lot of patting ourselves on the back. Good
okay,
show.
Now that we've had the group hug, we're going to check the website. We've got the recipes for the smoked shrimp and the barbecue remoulade.
And what about the name of the wasabi chips?
The wasabi...
Tim's.
We'll throw Tim a bone.
Yay,
and put a link down
good.
There. And be sure to go to Amazon.com. Buy this WDIA two-disc set. It's fantastic music. And we're going to wind up. The last cut I want to play was Dan Aykroyd featured this on his... blues show that he's got. I don't know, depending on your local radio station, they may or may not carry it, but he had this a few weeks ago. This is one by Teeny Hodges, a local guitar player. He plays in all the clubs. Once you come to Memphis, you can find him playing somewhere down on Beale Street. 11 months, 29 days. Thank you, Susan and Trey, for joining us.
Thanks for having
me. And this is, we needed some help with all this. And
well, so, we were punishing our naughty livers.
That's right. Bad liver. Bad liver. So
oxidize this.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks, and join us next time on the Big Foamy Head show, and we'll see you next time.
Drive safe.
Bye, boys from the Beer Report.
Judge looked me straight in the face. He said, son, you've got 6 months, how much money you got to pay? I said, Judge, all of my money's gone. He said, sorry, boy, but I can't let you go on.
pay. On stage. That's what the judge said. You got to pay. On stage. The cop said, you got to pay. On stage. On the mercy of the court, I said, Judge, I've got two families to support, and $200 a week don't go far when you're trying to feed two families. The judge said, sorry, son, foolish, shake your head, but it looks like you've been spreading yourself just a little too thin. Now you got to pay. Pay on stage, just kept reiterating. You gotta pay on stage. You're gonna have to do 11 months and 29 days. That's what you're gonna have to do, son. 11 months and 29 days. As far as they'll go. The judge looked at me real close. He said, look like, son, you're going to have to stretch it just a little bit more. I looked over at my baby and said, honey, how did this thing come about? Oh, baby, can we work this out? She said, if you don't give me some money, looks like you're gonna have to spend some time at the big house. You heard what the judge said. Now he said, pay on stage. That's all he told you. He said, pay on stage. You're gonna have to do what you. Now you got to pay on stage. What you gonna have to do? 11 months and 29 days. You have to do every one of them. 11 months and 29 days. You have to do what the judge said. Now 11 months and 29 days. Ain't no other way you're gonna have to pay all that.